ever tempted to look at teenagers and assume the worst? Maybe you look at statistics on vaping or social media addiction or the hookup culture. Maybe you're tempted just to think a whole generation is lost. We want to remind you, God is still calling people, calling teenagers to himself. He's calling young people and using them to speak to the world. We're about to hear a story that will remind you of that. We'll hear from a young woman named Alexandra. As a teenager, this is what her life was like.
You know, at a tender age of 13, like, my heart was just so hungry for Jesus, and I was so hungry just to know him more.
But to fully appreciate that statement, we need to go back and start at the beginning. And that's going to take us back to Russia. This is Revive Our Hearts for Wednesday, December 4th. I'm Dana Gresh.
And I'm Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth. Dana and I are co-authors of Lies Young Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free.
And we have an exciting story of God setting one young woman free by his truth. Now he's using her to spread that truth around the world.
Alexandra has some snapshots in her mind from the country of her birth.
So a few things. I remember my mom's village, and that's probably where a lot of my memories come from. So I was born in Moscow, but my mom's village was out in the middle of nowhere. It was far, far away. I remember going to school in Russia. I went to preschool. So that's where my father, he put me into a specialized English class.
And that basic knowledge of English was helpful to Alexandra because this family immigrated west.
I came to Canada when I was 5.
Life there took some getting used to.
The way I dressed was very different. Like, I remember my first day of school in Canada, my mom was appalled that people were wearing shorts and sandals, and my brother and I were in suits and dresses and little heels and everything. So I just remember the big bows on my head. And
these children may have looked dressed up, but the family was struggling to make ends meet. As an immigrant, Alexandra's dad had a hard time finding work in his area of expertise.
I always am very hesitant to say living in poverty because I grew up with a loving family. I had two parents who were very much involved in my life. My brother and I were very blessed to go to an art school. So even though it wasn't a private school, it was a public school. So we had a lot of experience that a lot of kids did not have who may have been wealthy. But for us, living in poverty was basically, we had a tiny apartment. My brother and I shared a room up until I graduated and went to university. We didn't go on vacation. We didn't eat out. We went shopping in certain stores that other people knew that that's where the poor kids go shopping. So there were challenges, but my parents were pretty good in not letting us know much about what that was like. I know there's always been financial trials and difficulties, but we've grown up in a very happy place and a good environment.
A ministry in Canada held a camp each summer and shared the gospel of Christ. They offered scholarships to low-income campers, and that's why Alexandra was able to attend. And it changed her life forever.
I came to know the Lord when I was 13 years old at the Scott Mission Camp. It's a camp that does outreach to inner-city youth.
Alexandra had grown up hearing about God through a traditional Russian church. But it didn't mean anything to her.
But when I went to camp, that was the first time I've actually seen a Bible. So I've never actually held a Bible, and I didn't know how to read the Bible. And I just started reading portions. And I just remember coming home after a week of camp and just being so enamored by Jesus. And I had no idea that there were other people like me who wanted to know God. So I remember going online on different forums and like trying to find out, okay, are there other people who love Jesus? And going to school, and I was in eighth grade, and I would have my little pocket Bible, and I was so hungry just to know him more.
But that hunger wasn't able to be satisfied by going to a Bible-believing church because Alexandra's parents didn't want her to go.
I had staff who took me to church once, but I think there's just conflict in terms of like getting home at a certain time, and so my parents didn't feel comfortable. I later on found out that my mom had exposure to some sort of cult in Moscow, so I later on realized that a lot of my spiritual experiences she would be filtering through her bad experiences that she's had. And then my father is very new age. So for him, it's like, oh, like you're doing spiritual talking and like, that's great, but Jesus is not the only way. Like there's so many other ways. And so I think for both my parents, like I just remember being scared, getting up in the morning to pray, because I shared a room with my brother, and the Bible said, go into your prayer closet and pray. So I couldn't pray because my brother was there, but I had a closet, so I'd go and I'd pray in my closet early in the morning. And I remember thinking, if my parents find out how early in the morning I'm here, just with my Bible, they think I'm nuts. And I remember one day, I remember the light turning on, and I can see it from the bottom, like the little crack in the door. And they come and they open the door, and they're looking at me. They're like, what are you doing? And I didn't know what to say. I'm just there, and I'm just with my Bible. And I'm like, I'm here with Jesus. And I think as well, like, I remember sending them resources. I'm like, this is what I'm passionate about. I want to go overseas. I want to serve God. And for them, they were always filtering it through fanaticism. And so them having me as the only individual who was talking about what a relationship with God was, that was very uncomfortable. They assumed that, okay, this church thing, not a good influence. Like, we don't understand that. We don't know how that works. So I was not allowed to go to a Protestant church. The more I grew in my faith, the more I was convicted. I'm like, I need fellowship. So I convinced them. I'm like, can I just go to an Orthodox church then? So I did for a couple years until I graduated. And I had a mentor from camp who gave me a book called Authentic Beauty by Leslie Ludi.
I don't have any true worth and true beauty and true value in and of myself. Only the beauty of Jesus Christ can make me a woman of beauty. It's only His life and His radiance and His strength shining through me that is going to create anything of worth in my life.
The teenaged Alexandra was so hungry to learn about the things of God, she researched everything she could find. So after reading Leslie Ludi's book, she found a Revive Our Hearts episode where I interviewed Leslie.
Christianity is taking up our cross and following Him and laying down everything for His sake. And so for a young woman to realize she can't do that in her own strength, but when she allows the power of God, the Spirit of God, to overtake her existence, He enables her to suddenly no longer even value those things that the culture values. He enables and equips her to truly be radiant and victorious and fulfilled and beautiful the way He intended her to be beautiful through a relationship with Him.
So then I listened to that podcast and I was like, oh, this is really good. I probably was like 14 or 15. And since then, I would listen to Revive Our Hearts all the time.
Now, we often remind listeners that Revive Our Hearts isn't designed to replace your involvement in your local church. But since Alexandra couldn't be a part of a local church at that season in her life, God used this program to stand in the gap for her.
You know, high school is typically that time when, you know, your life can go south. And at just, you know, at a tender age of 13, like, my heart was just so hungry for Jesus. And the fact that I had Nancy's speaking available, and that introduced me to people like John Piper and Vody Bakum and Mary Cassian. They were so instrumental in developing my understanding of the Bible, but also getting me access to good doctrine and helping me form a theological framework.
Alexandra was eagerly learning biblical truth she heard on Revive Our Hearts, but she wasn't keeping it to herself. She was sharing what she heard and investing in the lives of other people.
Revive Our Hearts has given me access to resources that I was able to share with countless of individuals, regardless of their walks of life. So, I mean, as a 14-year-old, I can't necessarily minister to someone who's a married couple going through divorce, but I have heard so many stories on Revive Our Hearts that I can always direct individuals to those resources. So, and I've done that in every capacity, being able just to like tell people like, you should check out this ministry. And not even just that, I usually just buy the book to them directly and I send that book to them. I think in that regard, it's really helped me understand first and foremost, what a biblical church looks like. Second of all, what my identity is. But also, it gave me an appetite for a rich community. So it was very easy for me to be directed to churches and communities where people were solid doctrinally, because like you just filter it through and you understand what that is and you attract like-minded individuals. And a lot of my way of understanding has been shaped by how Revive Our Hearts has been teaching.
As her teenage years continued, Alexandra was struck by a series on Revive Our Hearts about scripture memory.
I would always be listening to Revive Our Hearts on my bike out, and then I would always have my scripture memory verse, and then I'd be walking through high school with my little like cue card.
So by pushing myself to do a verse a day, I had to think about it in the morning when I was doing my chores, and then at lunchtime, and then in the afternoon, and then when I was cooking dinner, and then at nighttime. And this little 3x5 spiral sits right up on my counter, so I just take it everywhere with me, including ironing and vacuuming, and I just put it in my car with me everywhere I went, and so that became my method.
And that has really trained me in just praying and just really shaping my mind. So I don't memorize scripture as I once used to, but I just remember that at that time when those lies start hitting you, like you're constantly battling them with what is true.
The testimonies Alexandra heard on Revive Our Hearts, especially the stories of endurance through suffering, had a big effect on her.
There was another one that was on suffering that I read when I listened to when I was in 8th or 9th grade.
That Revive Our Hearts episode was called Death Is Not Dying with Rachel Barkey.
6 weeks ago, I was given the news that my liver and bones are full of cancer. Just this past week,
I've shared it with so many people, but I remember that one was so instrumental. It was about a woman who was battling terminal cancer, and she had a young family.
Estimates vary, but barring a miracle, it is likely that I will not be here in 6 to 18 weeks.
And I remember sending it to so many people. So that was one of those stories that had really impacted me because I have always had a very big interest in understanding suffering because I find that that's the question that the secular world is always asking. As a Christian, like, we have an answer. Like, you don't believe in a God in the midst of suffering unless he's actually real, or you're insane, but it's probably because he's real. So I find that a lot of the teachings with people sharing and being vulnerable with their stories, that has really driven me to ask those questions, to seek the Bible, and when people come to me in the midst of their suffering, to be able to tell them, you know what, this is the answer. It's not a change of circumstance, but it's who Jesus is. So a lot of the topics on suffering from Nancy's radio has really helped me.
Day after day, the Lord used the Revive Our Hearts podcast in the life of this high schooler who was so hungry to know the truth. Her mind was filled with questions like this.
How do I follow God? And like, what does it mean to live a holy life? So I'd walk the hallways and I'd be just really deep in thought because I'm like, I want to live for the Lord. And like, what does that mean? What does that look like? So I did not have friends who were passionately seeking the Lord in my high school in that same capacity. Again, because I did not have community, like that just wasn't available to me. And so in that time when I had friends, but I didn't have anyone, like a heart friend to connect with in the flesh in that sense, I felt that Revive Our Hearts was that plethora of friends where I was engaging with people of all ages. And that's something else that in some respect, I'm really concerned with a lot of people in my demographic because they only spend time with people their own age and they miss out on the mentorship. And so I find that with Revive Our Hearts, because you have people from all walks of life and all ages and all statuses, whether they're single or married, I gain so much more in fellowship than if I was in a young adults group, which would be more typical for people my age in the church. And so that's definitely something that Revive Our Hearts has taught me because they're huge on older women discipling younger women. And I think, you know, by having that, you know, whenever I go to different churches, I love encouraging and challenging people in that. So I think the other thing that Revive Our Hearts has given me is friendship, albeit from a distance, but real, true friendship.
Alexandra didn't only listen to Nancy teach on the Revive Our Hearts podcast, she wanted to learn more and devoured Nancy's writing.
I started buying a lot of her books. I think high school, university, most of my money went towards books because every time I would hear about something, I would buy it for people because I heard it was fantastic.
Well, if Alexandra's story stopped there, it would be an exciting example of how God can get the truth of his word into the hearts of his people. But we need to take another twist in this journey. While Alexandra was growing in her faith, she was also growing in a passion to share the truth with others. Revive Our Hearts was part of that process, too.
I remember also Nancy interviewing the author who wrote In the Land of Blue Burkas.
Author Kate McCord.
So that was that book that has also really started making me think about missions.
The day those towers went down, I knew that I would go to Afghanistan and I would help rebuild that country and I would share the love and the peace and the joy of Christ with Afghans who had suffered for so many years. And, It took me a little while.
Obviously, Elizabeth Elliot and just Jim Elliot's story, that was something that really challenged me.
And so Geekita said, no, if we're going to kill anybody, let's kill the foreigners. So they came back on Sunday, January 8th, and speared my dad and his four friends.
God used stories like these to lead Alexandra overseas. So far in this story, we've been to Russia, then Canada. Now we go to China, where Alexandra served as an English teacher. She went to an international church. When women there wanted to begin a Bible study, Alexandra recommended a series that had meant so much to her. It was written by Mary Cassian and Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
And so I recommended the True Women 101 book and basically brought my copy in, shared that with them, and said, I actually did 201 first. Both books I was familiar with because I listened to the podcast as a teenager, and so I knew what the content was, and I really wanted to do the study. So the tricky part was trying to figure out how to get those books to China, because you can't just get them in China. Everything there is barred, obviously, when it comes to content that comes from outside of China. So I had one of my friends that I'm here with at the conference.
The True Woman 101 study isn't available in China, so Alexandra had to be creative to supply books to the other members in this study.
They got shipped to my parents, whom I then met in Italy during break time, and then I brought them to China. And then that wasn't enough, because a lot of people wanted to get those books. So then I had more books ordered in Hong Kong, and I had several different locations, because I only was basically allowed a certain amount at different places. And yeah, and so then I had, in different settings, we had them kind of brought to the place where I was serving. And we got to do this study with a group of women from our church. It was really interesting because as a Canadian, I interact with a lot of people who are like second, third, fourth generation of like immigrants. But then when I was in China, it was an international church where a lot of people were coming straight from their countries. And so when we were doing this study on true women and what is biblical womanhood, all of a sudden I was talking to people from all these different contexts, and it was fascinating to see how, you know, the Bible is relevant and it transcends all cultural paradigms. And so here I was discussing these topics, and we had all these women leading it. And I left. I finished my time in China. I came back to Canada, and I was hoping to go back, but I ended up getting married, so that was different. But I was really pleased to hear that they actually moved on to the second book. So they continue to do that study right now in that part of China, and a lot of women are really blessed by that.
Now Alexandra is trusting God in this new season of life.
I realized my plan for God was always China. I was like, God, this is how I want to serve you. And marriage was something that terrified me. And I think coming back to Canada was a very vulnerable step for me, because I felt much more secure in China than I did coming back. But God brought Daniel into my life. And it just made sense that this is where he was leading. So, and Daniel has a different platform right now where he's engaging with the secular world. He's engaging with people who are asking big questions. And in a lot of ways, as much as I love China, I do realize that I'm much more familiar with Canadian culture and Canadian worldview. But I think it also does give me an opportunity to continue to minister to Chinese people. Even as I came back to Canada last year in my class, I had lots of international students. So often they would come to my home and we would make dumplings. And after that, I would show them a film like Courageous, and you know, then we would talk about it. So we discuss the values that were shown there. We'd open the Bible, and I'd shared something with them. And I love ministering to Chinese people, and I find that it's I hope that it continues to be something that I get to do.
In these new avenues of ministry, Alexandra is still pointing people to Revive Our Hearts so they will hear the truth of God's word.
Again, in my season of life, I may not be able to counsel people in a very different time period, but I have Revive Our Hearts, who has all these fantastic resources, and I constantly direct people that way. Whether it's, again, purchasing books, I listen to the radio station right now every time when I walk to work, so I'm constantly getting new topics. Sometimes I follow what they're currently doing, or I find radio programs from the past that might be relevant to a conversation I had with someone. So for me, I want to hear what, you know, someone said on the radio station, then direct that individual to that station to see if it's appropriate. So I would say I listen to it quite consistently, and I advertise it quite consistently.
Alexandra's story reminds us that women are listening to us today in so many different situations. Perhaps you're a teenager hungry for the truth, but feeling alone. Alexandra wants to encourage you.
God has incredible plans, and we can't limit him. The one thing I've really been challenged by is God writes your story, and it does not have to look like the story of anyone you've listened to on Revive Our Hearts. And I think that's incredible to think, because you hear tons of beautiful, beautiful stories of what God is doing. But that's the nature of God. He is so big, and he's able to take us in any point of our life. And he uses, you know, the passions that he's planted into every single one. And as a teacher, like, I love working with young adults as well, so 13, 14, 15 years, and seeing what their passions are and not being afraid for God to use that. I think that's so key. Yeah, if we seek him, we will find him. He will be found by us. And I think that age does not have to be the determining factor of when you can become closer to God, whether you're 5 or 8 or 13 or 45, whatever. God is so accessible, and he wants to do incredible things through your life. Like, I've experienced that. And yeah, young people are so hungry for meaning and purpose, and only Christ can do that. He's the only one who could satisfy.
You know, Dana, it's easy for us to sit in a studio on a day like today and just try to get tasks done. But this story reminds us of the mission of Revive Our Hearts. We're calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. And every single program matters in someone's life.
And just think, if you supported Revive Our Hearts all those years by praying for the ministry or supporting the ministry financially, you are a part of Alexandra's story. There was a teenage girl eagerly listening to the truth and finding it because you helped us make the program possible.
I am absolutely floored at the fact that even though I did not belong to a church community, I had seasoned women and men who I listened to, who got to mentor me and shape me into the woman I am today. And it's amazing what people have been doing in terms of, again, donating and supporting Revive Our Hearts. I think it's an incredible ministry. I'm so grateful for every single individual who has given. I'm grateful as well for the fact that it's on the radio station and it's accessible anywhere in the world. So again, I could be in China and I could still direct people to Revive Our Hearts through the internet. And I think that's huge. And I know I remember all the time when I listen to the radio and they're always saying, okay, this is our fiscal year and, you know, it's the end of the year and we're hoping that if God puts it on your heart to give. And my heart has always been like, yes, like, people, we need to support this place because they're doing amazing things. And I love hearing the testimonies of hundreds and thousands of other women because God is doing incredible things through Revive Our Hearts in so many parts of the world. And it starts with one person who gets fired up, and then they go to a church community or they go to a different city or whatever, and they start sharing, and then that turns into a little group, and then they all start sharing, and it's just a ripple effect everywhere. So thank you, donors, everyone. Thank you for all that you've done.
If your heart rings with that same yes, now is the perfect time to give. Some friends of this ministry are watching God at work in the lives of women like Alexandra, and they want to accelerate the ministry and move it forward. So they have offered to double every gift between now and the end of the year as part of a matching challenge.
So that means when you give right now, your gift will be doubled. Your gift of $25 will become $50, and your gift of $50 will turn into $100.
And I would love it if every person listening to this program today would get involved in some way. Would you ask the Lord how? Maybe he'd want you to pray. There's so many more women like Alexandra who need to be mentored and encouraged. Would you pray that we can connect with them? And perhaps the Lord is calling you to give.
And this week, when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount, we'd like to say thank you by sending Nancy's brand new Advent devotional, Consider Jesus. You can donate at reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959.
Do you feel like you're stuck in a hopeless situation? As you look at your family or your community or maybe even your church, you just don't see much evidence of life. Well, that's how the prophet Ezekiel must have felt when God showed him the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. Tomorrow, we'll hear how the Word of God is used by the Spirit of God to bring his life to hopelessly dead situations. I hope you'll be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.